Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the skies are filled with cumulus clouds and blue skies. It's a warm late summer afternoon in the city that never sleeps in the South, Atlanta, Georgia. And we've got a lot to talk about today. So let me just say hello to my brother, Richard. How are you today?
I'm fine, Joni Tom. I'm fine.
You know, today is September the 8th, and 3 days from now is the anniversary of 9/11. And it will be 13 years since the original 9/11 and 2 years since Benghazi.
Yeah.
And Barack Obama is still missing his national security briefings to do other things. And I have a question for you. How safe do you think we are this 9/11?
You say from 0 to 100?
0 to 100, 100 being completely safe.
-7.
That's about what I'd give it to. This is Obama's going to have a speech about ISIS on Wednesday, and coming up with his long sought after strategy, which he has been remiss in getting for, you know, quite a while now. And he's going to give it on the eve of 9/11. While the Justice Department has 40 people investigating the police department in Ferguson, Missouri.
Yeah, Ferguson, yeah.
And we are letting people in our southern border willy-nilly without even a hint of knowing who they are, why they're here. It's the most irresponsible. This is the most irresponsible government I believe I have ever in my life met. I cannot for the life of me even imagine being this irresponsible. There are a lot of people believe literally that Barack Obama is a Manchurian candidate, and that his whole goal is to overwhelm the system because of these illegal aliens and collapse us. Now, I know he has studied these people, and that he's there's a lot of stuff about him that's socialist, and I don't believe for a minute that he was born in Hawaii like he said he was. I mean, I just don't. But I have a hard time believing that he absolutely wants to to bring down our government. I mean, I know that he, favors Islam over Christianity, that he favors Islam over Israel, that, that he has done a pathetic job. And he doesn't know what he's doing. He's a little man, scared, overwhelmed. But I just find it very hard to think that he wants to actually allow us to collapse. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right. You don't have a middle name like Hussein and think that that people that are named Jesus are the ones that you're really interested in. So I don't know. He's I don't know that he's done anything in his tenure as president that you would say has been really positive for this country. I mean, think about it. You know, start with, let's talk about Obamacare and how, you know, it was going to save the average person $2,500 a year. And right now they're saying it has a net effect of being plus $2,500. So he was off by $5,000. But everything.
That's a very generous assessment. It's a very generous assessment to say that it will only cost them 25. It's probably more like 4 or 5. So it's dramatically
With the deductible and everything,
you know,
obviously it's going to be a lot more.
The administrators.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that and the litany of, I don't know, scandals. I mean, I taped, but I haven't seen the 13th hour where Brett Baer talked to three of the guys that were at Benghazi, and they say they were told to stand down. And this woman for the State Department claims nobody ever told them that. So am I wrong in the assessment that she just said the three guys that were there, she basically called them liars? So,
well, they've done that consistently. The people that they did the same thing with Bergdahl, the guys in his squad, that they were liars, the ones that were there, that he didn't walk off, and, you know, and that at the State Department, they know better. Well, I mean, you know, of course, that's just nonsense.
Yeah.
And very, it's beyond me how people can believe this stuff. And today's announcement that they are not going to do anything as far as a, you know, presidential executive action on the illegal immigrants until after the election. And then they're going to do it. That's just in your face saying, you know what, we're not going to do anything to infuriate the American people before we try and get all the Democrats back into Congress. But as soon as the election's over, we're going to stick it to you. And they think that we're so damn stupid, we will accept that. And you know what? We are.
They will. Yeah.
It's pretty, it's, if they did that right now, it isn't there are a number of things that are going to happen in the senatorial races. And that's the big deal. Because the Republicans are going to hold on to Congress, onto the House of Representatives, which means one half of one third of the government is controlled by Republicans, and the rest is dominated by the Democrats. But since the House of Representatives is the place where all of the financial things start, the House has clout. Now, if the Senate flips and they get rid of Harry Reid, and the obstruction of the Democrats in the Senate to protect Barack Obama's duplicity, then it's going to be one third of the government is Republican. The executive branch is still Obama, and they'll be fighting in the courts about things. So this is a huge thing. Now, I want to talk about it for a minute. The Republicans need to pick up a net of 6 seats. There are 45 Republicans, 55 Democrats. The Republicans, the Democrats need 50 to retain leadership. The Republicans need 51, and that's because Joe Biden,
Vice President,
as president of the Senate, that's his duty as vice president, would be the deciding vote. So 50-50 means that Obama keeps control. Now, there are two big Republican races, one here in Georgia and in Kentucky, that they have to hold these seats because Saxby Chambliss is retiring and David Perdue is running against Michelle Nunn, who is a mindless, she is a leftist progressive who does not have an original thought of her own. Her only claim to fame is that her dad was a pretty good senator 25 years ago. Back when the Democrats, some of the Democrats, you know, were pretty good, were pretty solid citizens.
Yeah.
All right. Those two are going to, you know, are going to be held. This Michelle Nunn is not going to win that. The seats that the Republicans are going to pick up.
Isn't this that Perdue guy down in Georgia that he's a successful businessman too? I mean, something that a person like that should be in government that knows what's going on out here rather than some senator's daughter. I mean, it seems too easy that Perdue should just walk into this thing.
Well, you would think so. How get elected, including Barack Obama, has been
exactly
beyond us for years. So you can't take anything for granted. Now, here's some things that are going to happen. The Jay Rockefeller is retiring in West Virginia, and he is a Democrat, a very liberal Democrat. His seat is going to be picked up by the Republicans. The Democrat has no chance at all because the people in West Virginia are hurting badly because of coal.
Yeah.
So that's one pickup that they're going to have. Now we have to get six. Kay Hagan in North Carolina is going to lose her seat to the Republican. And, you know, the chances of that happening are pretty solid. That's two. Mary Landrieu, the net pickup. Georgia and Kentucky, you know, we're Republican. They're going to stay that way.
Oh, okay.
So the first pickup is West Virginia. Second
All
is
right.
North Carolina. The third is Louisiana. And Mary Landrieu actually voted for the UN to be able to take guns away from people, and you know, voted for that treaty. And why she would do that is beyond me. Can you just see those folks from Duck Dynasty giving up their guns to people from the United Nations?
All right.
I don't see that. Do you?
Yeah. No.
That's three. Mark Pryor is going to lose in Arkansas. That's four. The Montana seat where the Democrats had that general that got caught plagiarizing things to the War College. He had to quit now, and they had to find a replacement on the last day before they could even put him on the ballot. That's five.
Yeah.
South Dakota, the senator is a Democrat, and he's retiring, and that's going to go to Republicans at six. I personally believe that in Iowa, which is an open seat, that the Republican Joni, I forgot her last name, is going to win that one too. That would be seven, and then there's Alaska. And
in New Hampshire,
Begich has been doing everything that he can, sleazy things, to try and hold on to his seat, and he's not going to be able to do it. So I think that there's going to be a net pickup of eight, which would make it 53 Republicans and 47 Democrats. And I've got another sleeper, and that's Scott Brown in New Hampshire beating Shaheen. And if that happens, then that's 54.
Right now they're in a dead heat, you know.
Say that again?
Right now they're in a dead heat.
pretty close.
You know, it's,
I mean, she's still statistically a couple of points up.
I thought I heard
solid
that it was
candidate,
a
solid man, and a very attractive candidate, well known and straightforward and honest. I like the guy.
Yeah.
But at any rate, if that happens, then Obama is going to be stopped.
Lame-deducted.
Yep. But
yeah.
The time where he will have his greatest activity will be after the election and before the next Congress is sworn in. So Christmas time, he's going to be doing everything that he can, you know, to make this a socialist nation. And it's not going to go very far because once it comes, you know, it's going to be bloody murder here for a while. Now, all of this is assuming he's going to be able to get some kind of policy with ISIS and start, you know, getting it to where they aren't cutting people's heads off. Now, if we are hit on Thursday, all bets are off. Because the fury in this country for a president who doesn't bother to go to his daily national security briefing meetings is going to be unbelievable. Here he is. He won't miss his tea time, but he doesn't have time to keep up with what's happening in the world. And the Middle East is a powder keg. We have these sleeper cells of Muslims in the United States that would like nothing better than to cut our heads off. Can you even believe? Remember when we started doing this radio program maybe about 3 years ago? Would you have ever thought that the topic and the issue of being decapitated would be something that would even be on the table that we would discuss? Just 3 years ago.
Yeah.
They're systematically, this ISIS, beheading 4, 5, and 6-year-olds because they're Christians. Now, I mean, I remember you and I taking our first Holy Communion when we were 7, but I certainly don't remember anything about anything when we were 4, 5, and 6 years old other than us liking that one little TV show, and we would go in the closet and bow down and pray to whoever because it was, you know, our little cultic religion, and we caught mom's full-length fur coat on fire and got in trouble for that one. You remember that?
Well, yeah, and I think it was the movie was Gunga Din, and you and I were we liked. Kill for the love of killing, kill for Kai.
Yeah, it was.
I think
it was something from the Andy Devine show, I think, though. Regardless what it was, you know, that was all we knew was these little kids. And
well, you mean Rama of the Jungle?
Yeah, that's it. And
yeah.
And but here we've got these Muslims, and they are literally decapitating children. Children. This is an evil that has to be destroyed. And, you know, Obama in his great liberal leftist foolishness has tried very hard to pull us out of the any kind of responsibility in the Middle East, and it isn't going to work. He snatched the victory that we had achieved at great expense in Iraq and absolutely let it go. Not good. Of course, there isn't much desire among American people to do a whole lot of fighting in the Middle East, and I get it. Trouble is, they're bringing it here, and what they want to do is cut off the heads of our grandchildren, our children, and us, all of us. So we have to stand. We have to be counted. We have to do what we need to do to survive. And we need leadership that knows what they're doing, leadership that takes the presidency and the responsibilities of being the president seriously, which Barack Obama does not do. I think it's no secret that we don't have a great deal of respect for Barack Obama, but I think that it's a very fair thing, regardless, to say that he has done everything that he can to just kind of like skirt his responsibility in favor of, he likes to campaign, he likes to raise money, he likes to be a celebrity president.
Yeah,
but he doesn't like to do the work. He won't do the work. He's just walking away from it.
And he has
over
no
his
backbone.
Head, he knows it.
He has no backbone.
Over his head, he knows it. And I think he knows he's not up for the job. But I don't believe a narcissist can ever admit defeat. I think that it's kind of like, well, I couldn't do this because, you know, Fox News was against me because they wouldn't let a black man succeed. I can just hear that kind of nonsense. As a
Congress was against
out
me.
There as if that has anything to do with anything.
Yeah.
When your head's cut off, you bleed red, whether you're black, white, green, or whatever color you are, blood's red. And they want to cut off all of our heads, including Barack Obama.
You know, let me ask you something, because I find it extremely difficult to understand how these Islamics depict in the Quran that Allah justifies them killing and beheading children or beheading anyone. I mean, I've heard people, you know, read from the Quran and say that he's supposed to be, you know, peace and loving and this and that. But it seems that, I don't know, is there an appendix to this Quran that we don't know about? But, I mean, it just seems so far out of whack with, you know, what any religion. I mean, it'd be different if they weren't a religion. They were just, you know, atheists that decided that people that believe in any god are, you know, ridiculous. But it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, in the Quran, it justifies beheading people.
Oh, there
and
you
it
go.
Tells them to, yeah, and it tells them, you know, to kill Jews.
Oh, okay.
I mean, so this, and there is the whole thing of you know, Islam being a religion of peace and most Muslims are moderate. Okay. There is zero Muslim rejection of what's happening, the moderates and the peace loving Muslims are silent. And there is zero impact of Muslims, you know, rising up against the these radicals. So personally, and I'm going to just be honest here, I got no use for any of them.
No.
I don't trust them. I don't trust that the ones that are moderate are really moderate. I think that they're just silent. I think that they don't, you know, want to be involved with some of the stuff, but they won't stand up against what's happening. And when they won't stand against what's wrong,
got no
then
use
they're
for
part
them.
Of the problem and not part of the
yeah.
solution.
Got no use for them.
And it, you know, it would seem to me as if Christian people and Jewish people, but particularly Christians, the Jewish people, you know, certainly in Israel, need to be far clearer about what's happening than we are. And this whole thing of being, you know, Islamophobic is completely misplaced.
Horse manure.
If these people were peaceful, all of them, it'd be one thing. Then they'd have some justification for you know, for what they're saying, but they aren't. And I mean, they're killing everybody who doesn't agree with them.
Yeah,
including the moderate Muslims. These are Sunnis in ISIS, and they are they're killing the Shiite Muslims also. And so this is, I mean, it'd be very somewhat similar to the wars that were fought between Protestants and Catholics in the 16th century and 17th. But the, you know, the religious wars, that's when in Christendom they had them. In going back, all of the criticism of the Crusades for pushing Muslims back into the Middle East seems now that people 1,000 years ago understood some stuff that we're just now. So criticizing them for pushing Islam back into the Middle East seems like a very good decision from what I see. And the year that the year that America was discovered by Columbus, the Moors, who were the Muslims, were by Catherine of Aragon. I guess it's Catherine. Maybe it wasn't Catherine of Aragon, but it was Ferdinand and Isabel. Excuse me. And 1492, they got rid of all of them. Threw them out of Europe completely, and they haven't been back until just here recently. At any rate, you know, this is we're about out of time, and you know, it's a dark day for another reason. Doesn't look like the Patriots are going to go very far this year, which I certainly had hopes that they would with Gronkowski back and everything. But we'll just have to see what happens. We got no Red Sox. Celtics look terrible. All we've got to root for, it looks like, is going to be the Bruins, but we'll see.
Jackie,
maybe I'll be wrong and we'll be mistaken.
I hope we don't end
It'll
up
be.
Having
anyway,
a conversation
stay
next
on
week
9/11.
About it.
Don't go anyplace,
yeah.
folks. And let me just
yeah.
say this. God bless you and God bless the United States of America. And keep us safe on this 9/11 from the attacks of the radical jihadists. Bless you again. Bye-bye.